إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، two quick issues before we read our point for today, inshallah. The first is still the issue of Salatul Asr. The time of Salatul Asr is still further than as people observe Salatul Asr. By my own observation today, there is no Salatul Asr until around 4:20, 4:21. But we are so used to, in fact, we call Salatul Asr 4 o'clock prayer. It's wrong. Salatul Asr is not 4 o'clock prayer. And this Salat is one of the most important of the five Salawat that Allah ordered us to make hymns of. What did He say? He says, Hafizu ala Salawat. And the hadith is authentic from Aisha radiallahu anha that Salatul Wusta is Salatul Asr. So if Salatul Asr is the Salat that we miss of all the Salawat, it means we have not taken care of Salat. In fact, it could be deduced from that verse and the hadith that Salatul Asr is the Salat that people are most likely to miss of all the Salawat. And this is what we are seeing. To take care of it, meaning if you are not careful, you will miss it. And this is it that we are missing. Many of the people miss Salatul Asr. 4 o'clock Salatul Asr is not Salat, ikhwa. Let's be frank with ourselves. Salatul Asr at 4 o'clock, the time for Asr had not reached. From the shurut of Salat, from the conditions of acceptance of Salat that Allah gave, He says, Inna Salata kanat ala al-mu'minina Kitab al-Mawkuta, that Salah is made obligatory for the Muslims according to their time. So if the time for that Salah had not reached, that Salah is not obligatory. Some of the ulama like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he even said when the people commence Iqamah, such that the time had not reached, and when they say Allahu Akbar, the first takbira, takbiratul tahrimi as it is called, or takbiratul ihram, and then before they finish the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, the time of the salah reaches, that salah is still invalid. It's in a sharh of Riyadh al-Salihin. So let us keep to the time. That is not to now say we should go to the mosques now and make problems with those a'imma. There is no problem that education does not resolve, such that even if the other person does not accept, his mind will let him know that he is not doing the correct thing. So let's always commend issues with education. Educate the people. When you educate the person, you empower him. Because knowledge is power, quote and unquote. That is, the one who has knowledge is empowered. So educate the people, and in a nice manner. Allah says, "Udu ila sabili rabbikum aw rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izatil hasana." Maw'izatil hasana. So it says, "Wajadilhum billati hi ahsan." Ulama say, if he orders us to have discussions, talks, dialogues with non-Muslims, billati hi ahsan, and then to have mujadala with a Muslim, billati hi ahsan, ala babil awla. If Allah orders us, so wala tujadilu ahla al-kitabi illa billati hi ahsan. Don't go into a dialogue with non-Muslims except in a nice manner. They say, if he has ordered us to only go into dialogue with non-Muslims in a nice manner, then that our dialogue with Muslims should be in a nice manner, it is a greater reason. So when you discuss this matter, make it a nice, peaceful discussion. But before you go, educate yourself properly. What is the time of after? We all have, Fiqh al-Sunnah has been translated to English. I don't know whether it's Yoruba translation or course. But if you go to Babul Mawaqit in Fiqh al-Sunnah, you see this matter there. Ulama refer to the Zawal, what I think people are not observing. They refer to it as Fayu Zawal, Fayu. It is common to say Zillu Zawal. But some of the linguists say you use Zill Qabla Zawal. Ma Ba'da Zawal, Fayu. Before noon, you call your image Zil. Afternoon, you call it Fay. So it is Fay Uzzawal. So when you check what Fay Uzzawal, it's in Fiqh al-Sunnah. It's common, Fiqh al-Sunnah, everybody has it. It's in English, it's in Arabic. Go to Kitab al-Bab al-Mawakit. You see that. This discussion on Salatullah. So I think we should be educated, and then we should educate the people around us about Salatul Asr. One of the most important salawat of the day is Salatul Asr. And it's the salah that deserves attention. If we don't pay attention to it, we'll miss the salah. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who misses Salatul Asr is like the one who has missed everything he has. Salatul Asr. Very, very important. But don't forget, when you educate people, when you are in a dialogue with people in these matters, make it a peaceful, nice, knowledge-based dialogue. When it becomes an argument, avoid argument. Keep away from it. In a nice manner. Not in a manner that speaks of arrogance. We beg Almighty Allah to make this thing easy for us. The second point of issue I would like to quickly mention, inshallah, is that when we gather like this, and we have not commenced the halqa, those of our brothers who are reciters of the Quran could read the Quran to us. It is from what the companions used to do, رضي الله عنه. It sits and reads the Quran. We will not be engaged in unwanted, I don't want to say frivolous, talks we ourselves do not like. So somebody will sit and read Quran to us, sit down here. The rest of us will listen to the Quran. That will bring our minds down and closer before we commence the halqa. The companions used to do it, رضي الله. And the ulama mentioned that the companions did it. And many of them wrote in the books that they did. They read Quran, they would read Quran before they commence their discussion. We beg Almighty Allah to make it beneficial to us. We'll be reading the 10 points today. I'm not to do Al-Ashur. The 10th point, and the point that Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman al-Tamimi mentioned regarding the things that nullify the Islam of an individual. When a person is a Muslim, there are some things which, when he does any of them, that person becomes a non-Muslim. So they call those things nawaqid al-Islam, the things that destroy the Islam of a person. Just as we have nawaqid al-wudu, the things that invalidate the ablution of an individual. So we have nawaqid al-Islam, the things that invalidate the Islam of an individual, that makes a Muslim become a non-Muslim. Just like nawaqid al-wudu makes the Muslim who is in a state of wudu to go out of wudu. The 10th point, inshallah, today. He said, Al-Ashru Al-I'radu an deenillahi ta'ala لا يتعلمه ولا يعمل به. والدليل قوله تعالى ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه ثم أعرض عنها إنا من المجرمين منتقمون. الشيخ said الناقد العاشر الإعراض عن دين الله تعالى لا يتعلمه ولا يعمل به. والدليل قوله تعالى ومن أظلم ممن ذكر بآيات ربه ثم أعرض عنها إنا من المجرمين منتقمون. The 10th thing that violates the Islam of a person. Right? The 10th thing that violates the Islam of an individual is al-i'rad an deenillah ta'ala. Al-i'rad an deenillah ta'ala. For a person to be keeping away from the religion of Allah, to turn away from Allah's religion, to avoid Allah's religion, to keep away, abstain from Allah's religion. إعراض عن دين الله. لا يتعلمه ولا يعمله. He's keeping away, he's avoiding Islam. Is that لا يتعلمه. He will avoid learning the religion. ولا يعمل به. And he will not act upon Islam. لا يتعلمه. He will not learn Islam. ولا يعمل به. He will not also act upon Islam. He will say, I am a Muslim. Like, he will not learn Islam. He will not also practice Islam. Al-i'rad an deenillah ta'ala. Keeping away, avoiding the religion of Allah. La yata'allamuhu wa la ya'amaluhu. He will not learn the religion and he will not act upon the religion. This i'rad, the ulama say it is al-insiraf al-shay. So keep away, go away from something. وَالرَّغْبَةْ عَنْهُ. You don't want to have anything to do with it. So the way a person, a Muslim, he will say أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَّا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And anybody who says, I hope you are not seeing me. If you are seeing me, believe it, I don't like it. He will only say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. And accept that he's a Muslim. Every person who asks him, what are you? I'm a Muslim. Like, his Islam does not go beyond that. Every other thing about Islam, لا يتعلمه. علماء say لا يتعلم ما يستقيم الدين ما لا يستقيم الدين إلا به. لا يتعلم ما لا يستقيم الدين إلا به. There are some things that we cannot have a Muslim except that those things are there. When a person does not learn the things that, if he does not know it, he cannot be a Muslim. For example, issues of Tawheed. The fact that Allahu khaliqu kulli shay, like he said to Panahu, he says, Allah is the creator of all things. He doesn't know. When he told Allahu khaliqu kulli shay, oh no, don't tell me that. I'm busy. I don't have time for that. La yusaddiqukum. He will not accept it, and he will not say that you are lying. He doesn't just don't want to know. Allah created everything. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَكِيلٍ. And he's a caretaker. He takes care of them. Don't tell me that. You don't need to know that. He does not want to know. لَا مَعْبُودَ بِحَكٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. There is no one that deserves worship except Allah. He says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ. That is for the fact that أَنَّ اللَّهَ, certainly Allah, هُوَ الْحَقُّ, is the truth. وَأَنَّ مَا يَدْعُونَ مِنْ دُونِهِ الْبَاطِلُ. What those people worship besides Allah is batil. They are falsehood. That is the evidence that worship must not be directed to anybody but who? Allah. He will say, no, don't tell me that. So he will not say that it is a truth, and he will not say that it is a lie. But he will say that it's a Muslim. But he does not want to know much than any other thing apart from the fact that it's a Muslim. Day of Qiyamah, Yawm al-Qiyamah, is a reality. Ulama says it's one of the most important aspects of Iman. And some of them connect even al-Iman bi Yawm al-Qiyamah, they connect it to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Because from the Rububiyyah of Allah, Allah's lordship over us, is that huwa khaliquna. It is Allah that created us. Wa raziquna. He is the one that sustains us. Yumituna. It is Allah that will kill us. والحشر له يوم القيامة. And that gathering us on the day of Qiyamah is his duty on the day of Qiyamah. He will raise us up. So you see that his raising us up is connected to what? Rububiyyah. Allah's raising us up is connected to his being a Lord. Rabb, 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 we say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This Rabb, Allah's being Rabb, is the fact that he created us, he sustains us, he is the one that will take our lives, and he is the one that will restore the life to us. So from the aspect of restoring life to us, you see, Qiyamah will come. So that is why they connect Tawheed Rububiyyah to Al-Iman Bil Yawm Al-Akhir, belief in the last day. So the two of them, they are connected. So when the individual is told, look, there is going to be the day of recompense, Yawm Al-Din, the day that Allah will pay everybody what he has done. You say, no, I don't want to know. So you mean Allah will raise us up? Yeah. If you like, let him raise us up. If he does not like, let him not raise us up. This is I'rab. لَا يَتَعَلَّمُهُ وَلَا يَعْمَلُ بِهِ. And he will not act upon things like that. لَا يَعْمَلُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. The ulama say people like these are those who لَا يُصَلُّونَ. He never prayed. He never prayed at all. La yusallun. Salat? No. Zakat? No zakat. Ramadan? No song. They have the ability to perform Hajj, but they will not perform. Even the A'mal al-Qalbiyyah, because there are some actions that the heart performs, such as Tawbah. When a person makes tawbah, they will say he should make the first stage is what? Annadamu ala ma fataku, regretting. What will he regret? His eyes, his nose, his mouth? Regret is a function of what he has. So this regret, nadama, and he said alayhi salatu wasalam that annadama to tawbah. The crop, the basic thing, this hadith is authentic, and Imam Ahmad reported it in his Muslim. That the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, the major aspect of tawbah is regret. This hadith is authentic. For him, he will never regret, he will never make that kind of amalim qalbiyyum, a heart-related action, because they are part of the action. He doesn't do that. So his heart will not do any further worship. Neither will his mouth make adhkar any day. Neither will his limbs make adhkar. Neither will his limbs prostrate. Neither will his limbs fast. Neither will his limbs go for hajj. Neither will his limbs do anything of worship by way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no good deeds, nothing. No learning of Islam. When a person behaves like this, called a'arada an al-Islam, he has turned away, he has abstained from Islam. He is avoiding Islam. Ulama say, فَهُوَ كَافِرٌ بِكَافَرٌ. Al-Imam al-Humaydi, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and others, they mention that the ulama, this matter, that anybody who turns away from Islam is a kafir, there is a matter that is agreed upon among the scholars of Islam. And that is why this Shaykh said, rahimahullah, he gave us the dalil, or one of the dalail for that, one of the evidences for that, because there are many evidences in the Quran. There are many evidences in the Quran. When in Surah Al-An'am, Allah was describing the kuffar at the beginning of Al-An'am, He said, Alhamdulillah, how does it start Al-An'am? Alhamdulillah, الذي له ما في السماوات والأرض وله الحمد. الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون. كفار, after Allah has made creation, I am the one, Allah says, He is the one who made creation. خلق السماوات, He created the heavens. He says, وجعل الظلمات والنور, He created darkness and light. Summa, after I have done that, look at Summa الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ يَعْدِلُونَ. This kuffar bring someone else to worship along with Allah. While I'm the one that created, Allah says, I am the one that created you. But they are worshipping another thing along with me. What is he saying? That this is the one that has created. Those who join partners with him do not have a right to do what? To join partners with him. Because he's the one who created. It is the one who created who has a right to be worshipped. اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم. Worship your Lord because he's the one who created you. It is the one who has created that has a right to be worshipped. So why do you give worship? Why do you join the one who has not created? You worship him along with the one who has created. It's not fair. So later in that portion of the Quran, Allah says, وَمَا تَعْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. مَا تَعْتِيهِمْ. This kuffar, who joined partners with Allah, Allah is describing their teaching. مَا تَعْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ. There is not a verse amongst the verses of the Quran that comes to them. إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. Except that they turn away from them. مُعْرِضِينَ. They turn away from the verses. We don't want. Don't tell me that. So you see, this verse describes kufur for whoever makes what? Iran. Because it describes kuffar with it. So if a person, if a Muslim believes he's a Muslim, he must not turn his back away from Islam. So this Shaykh Rahimahullah, he gave another verse as evidence. He says, وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. The evidence that anybody who makes the Iraq, who abstains, who avoids Islam, we avoid Islam by way of not wanting to learn it and by not acting upon it. Whoever does this, we brought a verse that shows that such a person is not a Muslim. He says, Allah says, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ. مَنْ أَظْلَمُ. Who is more unjust? Who is more unfair? Like the one, ذُكِّرَ, who is reminded about the signs of Allah, about the Quran? ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ. And then he turns away from me. I don't want. Please, I'm busy, don't tell me that. Please this, please that. We know the way they turn away. Sometimes people who turn away from reminders, they will not say it to their heart. They will just walk away arrogantly. They will just walk away arrogantly. كَأَنْ لَمْ يَسْمَعْهَا. As if he's not hearing it. كَأَنَّ فِي أُذْنَيْهِ وَقْرًا. As if his ears are blocked. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Allah says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them the glad tidings of a severe punishment on the day of Qiyamah. Tell them, give them information. Let them know that when you turn away, you do, as they say, you do a big boy away from the signs of Allah. When people make big boy away from something, not from Allah's signs, not from the signs of Allah, not from being, not from deen. So the deen, the Muslim, a Muslim must not turn his back away from the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turning his back away by way of avoiding to learn it or avoiding to act upon it. Two ways. Or the two together. Sometimes when people avoid to learn it, they avoid to learn tawheed. And there are, I must say this, there are Muslim organizations who don't like to teach Tawheed. They say when you teach Tawheed, it will divide the people. And Tawheed is the basis of Islam. Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. They say, no, don't talk about that one. It will divide us now. It is Tawheed that will bring us together. It will bring all of us together. Allah is one in His Rububiyyah. Allah is one in His Uluhiyyah, in the fact that Allah alone must be worshipped. Allah is one in that. And his name, in his asma and his sifat, in his names and his attributes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. Nothing resembles Allah, and Allah does not resemble anything. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ. He does not have an equal, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So people turn away, say, no, don't say that. Or even other aspects of the religion. But the point, what makes a person to be a kafir under the issues of avoiding Islam, is when that person avoids those things that his la yastaqimu deen illa bihi, things that the religion cannot be established except with it, except by it. The religion cannot be established except that we accept Tawheed. The religion cannot be established except that we believe in Arkanul Iman. I know somebody, perhaps we all know him. When we were younger than this, we were always together. He's a big man now, well known in the country. He used to disbelieve in Qadr. He would say, why can you say there is Qadr? Allah preordained. But Allah says, I preordain. He says, Inna khalaqna kulla shay'in biqadari. We have, look at Allah, Inna khalaqna. We have created everything according to its measure, according to their qadar. He says, Wa khalaqa kulla shay'in faqadarahu taqdir. Allah created all things and gave them their qadar. So he does not accept. So there is nothing you say he will not accept. This kind of a matter, when a person avoids learning it, or he avoids accepting it, then he's knocking the door of kufr. He's knocking the door of kufr. But there are some things that When a person makes a rod away from, a person turns away from, it does not make him a kafir. But we'll come to that subsequently, inshallah. Which would mean that turning away from the religion, that's why we emphasize the fact that what makes somebody a kafir are those things that his Islam cannot be established except when he learns and practices those things. Another example, salah. العهد بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر عليه الصلاة والسلام. Messenger said, the covenant between we and them is what? الصلاة. من تركها. Anybody who abandons صلاة فقد كفر. He has disbelieved. So this individual will say to us, yes, I'm a Muslim. I believe that there's no deity but Allah, except Allah. And my mind is clean. But he will not pray. And he will not learn how to pray. Because the reason why he is beginning with لَا يَتَعَلَّمُهُ وَلَا يَعْمَلُ بِهِ, he will not learn it, neither will he act upon it, is because there is no correct action except that it is preceded with what? Learning. You cannot have correct tawheed except that you have learned tawheed. You cannot perform salah correctly except that you have also learned what? Salah. We cannot perform salah correctly until we have learned salah. We cannot perform hajj correctly until we have performed what? Hajj. And until we have learned hajj. We cannot perform hajj correctly until we have learned hajj. All the acts of worship. We cannot perform them correctly until we learn them. So those acts of worship that we know that the Islam of an individual cannot be established except by his learning them and acting upon them, when a person avoids to learn those things and act upon them, then he's knocking on the doors of the kufr. So the ulama will always say, يَتَعَلَّمُ لَا يَتَعَلَّمُ. What about somebody who learns them and does not practice them? There are people like that. They learn tawheed. They even will teach tawheed. We have talked about sihr. We have people, they will even be teaching tawheed. They will explain tawheed. But they have actions behind that contradict their tawheed. So in this case, we will say their actions contradict their learning, the knowledge. Ulama say these kind of people, they don't have ilmun nafi'un. Lam yanfa'uhu ilmuhu. His knowledge has not benefited him. If a person has knowledge of Islam and is not practicing that Islam, that knowledge has not benefited him. He is like the Jews, the Yahud. The Yahud have a lot of knowledge, but they don't practice their knowledge. In fact, when they learn, they will now practice the opposite of that knowledge. Yahud, when they learn, what they will practice is the direct opposite of what they have learned. Allah will say to them, do this, but they will do the opposite. اُدْخُلُ الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Enter that place, the land that I have preserved for you. They say to Musa, "Inna lan nadkhulaha abada." We will not enter. Allah said to them, "Don't go to fishing on Saturday." They say, "Oh, we should not go on Saturday." So what they will do is, on Friday night, they go and spread the net. And they'll come Sunday morning to collect the fish. Have they gone a fishing on Saturday? So Allah turned them to what? Monkey. Kunu kirudatan khasti. Allah turned them to monkey. One of the scholars, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, he said the reason why Allah turned them to monkeys is monkeys are like human beings. Monkeys appear like human beings, but they are not human beings. So what those people did was that their sins to appear like that sin, but it was not, it was that sin, but it was appearing as if it was not. Because al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. you will be rewarded in accordance to your action. The sin they committed was actually the sin, but not looking like the sin. So Allah turned them towards monkeys, like human beings, but not actually human beings. So Yahud, they always act against knowledge, opposite of knowledge, they act. So it should not be Yahud. May Allah protect us from that. Because they are al-maghdub alayhim, those Allah's anger is on them. That's why Allah's anger is on them. The ulama say somebody who has knowledge and does not act upon knowledge is worse vis-a-vis the Muslims than the one who does not have knowledge and does not act upon knowledge. Because the one who has knowledge but he is acting against that knowledge, those people who don't have knowledge will be looking at him thinking that what he has done is correct. But he is misleading himself and he is misleading the rest of the people. So those who have knowledge and they are not acting upon knowledge are more evil. They are more, their effects are evil effects. It's more adverse against the Muslims than those who don't know at all. So let us not be those who know and don't practice what we know. So a person does not say, "Huwa yata'allamuhu lakin la ya'malu." He will learn it, but he will not act upon it. فَقَدْ شَعَبَحَتَ الْيَهُودِ. If you do like that, you are behaving like Jews. May Allah protect us from that. The other group of persons are those الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ وَلَا يَتَعَلَّمُونَ. Those who will act, they will be working worship 40 rakats of nafila daily. He doesn't have the knowledge of what he's doing. He wants to pray, he doesn't have the knowledge. After wudu, he will rub his neck, water. During wudu, he will wash the hand up to the upper arm. During salah, he will bend left like this. He wants to worship sincere. He is very, very sincere. He wants to worship for Allah, lakin la ilma indahu. He does not have knowledge. فَقَدْ شَابَهَ النَّصَارَىٰ. It's behaving like Christians. You know why? Christians, they don't have knowledge, but they are worshipping. Christians are very ignorant people. Jahl. That's why Allah refers to them as what? Dalun. They are dalun because they don't have knowledge. Misguided. Acting in error. But Yahud, they acting in error according to knowledge. So they are worse than Christians in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the ummatan wasata is the ummah that acts based on, that will not act except that it was knowledge, and they will not act to contradict the knowledge. Ummatan wasata. Ummatan wasata. Not like the Jews, not like Christians. What? When Allah commanded performing Salatul Jummah on Friday, the Yahud, they missed it, they went to Saturday. Nasara ignorance, they went to Sunday. But Ummat and Wasatan, they got it right and they performed Salatul Jummah on Friday. Ramadan, Allah commanded us to perform 30 days of fasting in Ramadan. 30 days. But ulama al-Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, he said Ramadan is thick from Ramam, when the sun is some warm. So usually when Allah, because there is hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, the hadith of Yahya an Isa alayhi salam, that Allah had commanded them to perform Ramadan too. And Allah told us in the Quran, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. But how? How did he write it? How did he order them? How did he obligate them to perform Ramadan? Usually it's the same fast we fast, 30 days in a month. So, Banu Israel, the Yahud, they felt that because the month of Ramadan usually comes during the hot weather. So they thought fasting during the heat would be difficult for them. So they removed it from the 9th month to about the 11th month, when the weather will be colder. So for their removing it from 9 months to 11th month, they add 10 days to pay for that. That's where their fasting is what? 40 days. Otherwise, Ramadan is Ramadan. The fasting we were ordered to perform is 30 days. The fasting the Jews were ordered to perform is what? 30 days. So after the Jews, the Christians came, but they are ignorant people, so they followed them on 40 days. The ignorant person is always a follow. So the fasting is 30 days. Those people, according to knowledge, they alter it. These people, according to ignorance, they are practicing. So not learning is dangerous for the person who wants to practice Islam. Likewise, to learn and not practice is also dangerous for the individual. So we must follow the two. نَتَعَلَّمُهُ وَنَعْمَلُ بِهِ. We will be learning Islam and we will be acting upon Islam. Now we mentioned that there are two ways of avoiding Islam. Avoiding those things that the Islam of the individual will not be complete unless he does those things. We know those things, مسائل الإيمان, issues of Iman. We must learn Tawheed. For example, now we've been discussing those things that make or that could make an individual to become a kafir. These are from the things that it is obligatory for us to know. On a very lighter note, when people join a company, the company gives them rules, Abi. Company rules. I'm sure we have company rules. Some of those rules come along with the letter of employment. So how then should a Muslim be a Muslim and he does not know the rules that can take him out of Islam? So he will be acting upon something that is already taking him out of Islam, thinking that he is being a Muslim. I give you an example. I heard this with my ears. Somebody in Medina was passing by the graveside of the Prophet Muhammad. They were saying, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. You know those police there? We say, La, Udu'ullah, La, Tad'u Muhammad. Call Allah, don't call Muhammad. He looked at the man like this, as if you know, Sabi, anything. Yo! So, that individual is acting, that statement, that calling the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, is a statement of what? Shirk. So, when a person prays to the Prophet Muhammad, he is performing what? But this one, this Muslim, because of ignorance, you say, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. The Prophet has died. Call Allah. La tad'u ma'allahi ilahan akha. Don't call along with Allah any other person. Call Allah alone. Udu'uni astajib lakum. But what makes that person do that? Because he has not learned that, perhaps. Or perhaps, those who taught him Islam taught him that he can be calling the Prophet Muhammad. So we must learn what makes us Muslims, what makes us become non-Muslims. When we do it, may Allah protect us all. We must learn these things. These ones are general issues. There are also issues of Qadr, there are issues of Yawmul Qiyamah, there are issues of Iman. Tawheed. There are issues of Sirat. On the day of Qiyamah, there are things that are obligatory for us to believe about the day of Qiyamah. There are Muslims who believe that on the day of Qiyamah, the fire will stop. Nar Jahannam will stop. There are people who have that belief, and it's a wrong belief. What will happen in the grave? What are the signs of the last hour? These are Arkanul Iman, and the things that are connected to them, we must learn them. This is what this point is telling us. Otherwise, we will be counted as those who are making what? Making errors, and it is not proper. So the first category of errors, turning away from Islam, is turning away from those things that The Islam of an individual, لا يستقيم الدين إلا بها. The deen of that person will not be firm. His deen will be shaken until he has learned those things and until he practices those things. The second aspect of irad is the irad that does not make somebody become a kafir. And that is when he makes irad from those things that, yes, his deen is not complete. He's not doing, practicing the deen perfectly, but his deen is not affected by way of saying that his Islam is really becoming a non-Muslim or a non-Muslim. If a person is invited to sit in a halqa like this, for example, he just will say, yeah, I don't have time, he stands up and goes away. It doesn't mean the person is a kafir. As long as he learns tawheed, he learns arkanul iman, and he prays, he does all this, no problem. No problem. However, he will not be like those who do. If you remember about the first hadith we read on this seat, the hadith of Abu Waqid ibn Layth, Imam Bukhari and Muslim reported that hadith. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam was in a halqa with some companions. Three people came into the masjid. One of them saw a furja, a space, he came in and sat down. The other one sat down at the end of the halqa. Halqa. It was mentioned in the hadith. And the other one, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, a'arada fa'arada Allahu anhu. He turned away and Allah turned away from him. He did not say the kafir. The worst of what he has performed is that he has sinned. He turns away from the gathering in which the Prophet alayhi salatu salam was teaching. The worst of what he has committed is a sin. But he did not say that that person has become a... It means there are some things, like a person avoiding to learn miraf, the science of inheritance. Many people run away from it. Even nahu, many people run away. They say, come and learn, and say, ah, please teach me another thing, ustaz. They say, ah, please teach me another thing. They say that it is tough. He would not have committed a sin therewith. Especially if he is not doing something in the religion that requires him to know nahu and sarfu from the basis. Because when you take up some job, you must know some things. Otherwise, you are taking up those jobs, you will be doing a quack on the job. It is not obligatory for us, everybody, to learn medicine. Is it obligatory for us to be all the medical doctors? Is it obligatory? No. Is it obligatory for everyone to be a nurse? The answer is overwhelmingly no. But any person who wears the cloth of a nurse and works in an hospital as a nurse must learn nothing. The Messenger says, alayhi salatu wasalam, the one who has not learned medicine makes attempts to cure people and kills that person, he will be held responsible. The hadith is in Sunan Abi Dawud, and it is authentic. A person, he has not learned medicine, he just started to, hey, I worked in a pharmaceutical store before. So when a person has an illness, malaria, say, ah, it is chloroquine they use, he puts chloroquine and he injects the person. When a person has itches on the body, they say it is a chloramphenicol, he gives chloramphenicol, he gives him the injection. If he kills a person or harms that person, he will be asked to pay accordingly. He will be held responsible. So what we are saying is that although some aspects of knowledge are not compulsory on us, when we take up some responsibilities in the ummah, that job become, learning that thing will become compulsory because of the job we are doing. So this is the second category of turning away from religious knowledge. It's just turning away from details. So it may be something that is mustahab, it may be something that is obligatory, it may be something that is makruh, depending on what he is leaving, depending on what he is avoiding. So the Shaykh said back to Abu, the Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, Al-Nakidu Al-Ashir Al-I'radu An-Deenillahi, that a person turns away, avoids the religion of Allah. La yata'allamuhu, that person will be avoiding to learn the religion. Wa la ya'malu bihi, and he will be avoiding to act upon the religion. No salah, no zakah, no salah. It is common amongst Yoruba and among some people they call elites. They will say, my heart is clean even if I don't pray. They will say, even if they don't pray, their heart is clean. I say, okay, your mouth is clean even if you don't brush. Brothers, who says that to us? Brother, don't disturb me to brush in the morning. My mouth is clean even if I'm not brushing. How do we consider that individual? My mouth is clean even when I don't brush. That is what we will say to the individual, and stronger condemnation for the individual who says his heart is clean even though he does not perform a salah. How can your heart be clean? Hey, how can your heart be clean? Because the cleansing of the heart is not your handiwork. You will do what will make the one who cleans heart to clean your heart. You are not the one to clean your heart. Because you don't see it, not to talk of touching it. So how can you clean the heart? You cannot clean your heart. But you can do something that the cleaner of the heart will clean your heart. When you do that thing, it will make him clean your heart. But you cannot clean your heart. Even when you can brush your mouth. So if you are not performing salah, your heart cannot be clean. Because you are not doing something that will make the cleaner of heart to clean your heart. Rather, what you are doing is what will make him to fill your heart. May Allah protect us. As is in the hadith of Abu Huraira, in Sunan al-Nasa'i, when he explained the hadith of Kalla barrana ala qulubihim ma kanu yaksibu. Rana ala qulubihim. What they do, their actions have come to place seals on their hearts because of what they do. So ikhwa, the point in this point, so to speak, is there are two things, two aspects of things that is considered as turning away from Islam. One, when somebody turns away from the things that his Islam, his being a Muslim, cannot be established unless he knows those things and acts upon those things. The basic fundamentals of Islam. When a person turns away from learning them and practicing them, we say that person is turning away from Islam. There are some things also in Islam, when a person turns away and avoids them, he may be sinning, but he would not have gone out of Islam. We gave examples of the two forms. And we gave evidences for the two forms. The hadith of the individual who came into the masjid and walked away, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not declare him as a kafir, is the evidence that there are some things a person can avoid, and his avoiding that thing will not make him become a kafir, even though it could make him be a sinner, being sinful, wrongdoer. Those things will not constitute him becoming a non-Muslim. But on the other aspect, issues of belief, salah, learning about salah and practicing it, performing salah correctly, and all other issues of iman, it is obligatory for us to learn it or learn them, and it is also obligatory for us to do what? To practice them. So that is what he says when he said, Al-I'radu an deenillahi ta'ala. When a person avoids the religion of Allah, la yata'allamuhu wa la ya'malu. He will not learn the religion and he will not also act upon the religion. والدليل قوله تعالى. The evidence that any person who avoids learning Islam and any person who avoids practicing the foundations of Islam is knocking the doors of kufr, is becoming a kafir, is what Allah said in the Quran, that وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهُ. Who is most unjust? Who is most unjust? Who is most a wrongdoer? Like the one, ذُكِّرَ, is reminded, بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ, about the signs of his Lord, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. Like he said elsewhere. Here he says, ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. Elsewhere he says, فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. In, I think, Kahf. فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. He now says, إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَكِمُونَ. In this first verse. But in the other verse, in Kahf, he says, وَنَسْيَ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ إِنَّا جَعَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَنْ يَفْقَهُهُ. Whoever is turning away from learning Islam, part of the consequences is that Allah will place a seal in his heart. And yafqahu, when the Quran is read to him, he will never understand. He will not understand. You see, me, I can't understand. What are you saying? What are you saying? All those afar things. You know, young boys these days, when they want to criticize Islam, they say, you know, all these afar things. Stop referring to deen as afar things. That statement has arrogance in it regarding the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't regard Islam as afar things, all these afar things. Stop it. Don't say it again, because part of the things that make somebody become a kafir is when he makes jest with the religion of Allah. And you see, hiza'u bidini lahi. He makes jest. I think we've read the point, cool? He's jesting at the religion. Or he's jesting at the people of the religion. They look at their beard. Me too, I'm Muslim, but me, I can't keep beard like this. Like, they start describing it, painter's brush. So we ask him, Adillahi wa ayatihi wa rusulihi kuntum tahtahazihu qad kafartu. La ta'tabiru. Don't give excuse. You are already a kafir. Ulama say jest is one of the things that when a person jests at Islam, or one of the things Islam has established, is making a jest at it. We don't need to ask inside his heart. Is he really serious in his heart? We will not ask that one. Once he's making a jest, he's entering into kufr. Because those people were saying that inna kunna nakhud wa nalab, we were just joking and just playing, we were not serious. So we didn't intentionally abuse those people we are abusing, you know. We didn't intentionally make jest at them. We were just jesting, we were just playing. Nani? Allah says, Abillah, is it Allah and His signs and His messengers that you are joking with? Who are you joking with? So when people turn away from the religion of Islam, they make statements like that. These are far things. The guy is telling me all these affairs. They are saying I should come and be learning these affairs. It's one of the ways people turn away from Islam. Or when a woman is encouraged to dress, wear hijab. Say, no, he's saying I come cover my head. No, I can't do that. Don't make statements like that. Because that will imply turning away from the religion of Allah. If the matter they are inviting the person to are from the issues of the foundations of Islam, and he has deliberately refused to learn them and act upon them, that person is turning away from Islam and knocking the doors of kufr. But if what he is turning away from and not from the issues of the foundations that make somebody a Muslim or that make somebody a kafir, then he's just committing a sin when he turns away. I hope this point is clear, inshallah. So this is the 10th point, and the Shaykh mentioned 10 points. But at the end of this point, he gave a note. And that note is very important because it will make us understand how to be acting vis-a-vis the 10 points. I think it deserves a whole day's class. Yes. He says, because, for example, he says, ولا فرق في جميع هذه النواقض. All these things that nullify the Islam of a person. لا فرق. There is no difference between them all. بين الهازل with a person that is joking, والجاد and the person that is serious, والخائف and the person that is what? Afraid. إلا المكره. Except the person that is compelled. Ah, it means when you are joking or you are serious or you are afraid and you do any of these things, it can lead a person out of Islam. These 10 things we are counting, there is no difference between somebody who is joking or somebody who is serious or somebody who is what? Afraid. Except the person that is compelled. And each of these issues have their own explanation. What does compulsion mean? What is the compulsion that Islam is talking about? What makes compulsion? One of the scholars was explaining that if a person holds you and say, I will shoot you, and the gun is holding, you know it is a rubber gun. You saw it is a rubber gun. You know the rubber gun cannot harm you. So he holds his hand, you know children. You say, okay, what do you want me to say? And then you begin to make statements of kufr. This does not amount to an excuse. Or a person who is actually, maybe actually holding a gun, but you know he cannot shoot it. You are certain he can't shoot. There are guns like that. You know he can't do it. So when the thing of care, the thing of compulsion is not real. Some people may jitter and then give in. This kind of thing does not make an excuse. The ulama mentioned things, what are those things that make ikrah, that makes compulsion, that will mean that they have compelled you. Some people are in school lessons, places. Their bosses will only frown at them if they keep a beard. A brother called me last week and said, in his place of work, his boss will compel every person to come to pray in the morning first. And they are Christians. So when you say you are Muslim, he says, they will say, it doesn't matter. Don't pray with us. Just stay here. So he's asking me, brother, can I stay there? I say, don't stay there, because you will not know when you start clapping with them. Yes, that's how Shaitan is. They know that. The Christians know. They know. So, but the compulsion here is such, and it is something that he can refuse. So I told him, I said, don't go there. Talk to your boss. If it is in civil service, the case is easier for you because it is a government job. So you can report to your boss. You can write letters. You can say, no, I'm not doing. I'm a Muslim. Because I am sure, especially in Southwest Yoruba State, the Christians do that a lot. They say, come and pray. When you are in buses, they say, pray. When they say, pray, when you are in buses, the Muslims too, we too now start an innovation. Before they say, you pray, you too, you start praying. Allahu la ilaha illahua. Who told you to read Allahu la ilaha illahua when you are inside the bus? Who sent you that one? Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Allah has not told us to do that. There are lessons. If you want to travel on a journey, what do you say? When you climb the ride, what do you say? When you climb the ride, say Bismillah. When you sit down, say Alhamdulillah. When you are well established, you say Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu mukrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. Then you say what? The hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Go. You say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, 3 times. And then you smile. It's from the Sunnah. And when the motor starts going, there are things you say. But because we want to behave like Christians, A'udhu Billah, because they start shouting the boss, in the name of Jesus. Now, when a person is not behaving sane, it doesn't mean sane people should behave like that. We should not copy them. We should not follow them. They are ignorant people. And for حكم الجاهلية يقبو, is this what the ignorant people are doing that we prefer we want to do? Let's not do what they are doing. Now, when we have some mama, la salatu inside the bus, they'll start touching you, afa efu ala dua. La! Tell them there's no adua. There's no adua here. I have experienced it before, sometimes. You say, afa efu ala dua. La! Because many of the Muslims today, many of the Muslims have been made to be thinking the way non-Muslims think, and it is not correct. People are so scared now. There is something Arab called afiyara. It is translated in English as evil omen. Although there are some certain lexical differences between the two. A tiara is when you use them as a means of having evil omen. Because there are other things people use for evil omen. It may not be bad. In the times of Jahiliyyah before Islam, if an Arab wants to travel because of Jahiliyyah, when he comes out of his house, he will look up in the sky. When the bird flies towards the left, you say, this journey, you know, go good, he returns. When the bird flies towards the right, you say, this journey will be suffering Sa'id. So he will travel. So they take evil omen from birds. That is what is referred to as what? A tiara. And Islam prohibits us from it. So many of the women, many of the iyats now, that's why we really need to be educating ourselves. Education will remove all these things. Enlightenment. They've made them to feel that maybe they went to Afar Oliyewo, which is also wrong. The Afar will tell them that the journey is somehow. And she has already made up her mind. She has to travel. So when she gets into the bus, she's afraid. Because somebody has confused her, has scared her that this journey is just a video. It's a lie, no excuses. They are lies. The possibility is 1/100. Probability of 1/100. It's negligible. And that's why he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, fala tusaddiquhum. Don't accept what they say. Those of us who say the journey is somehow. Likewise, parents do that now. A young, nice, innocent, well-natured Muslim brother will come to ask your daughter to marry. They will now ask the brother's name. His name is Muhammad Abdul Salam, for example. They will now ask for his mother's name. They say his mother's name is Asia too. So they will take this boy's name with his mother's name to those affairs. They will now tell them that the marriage is not going good. Rajman bil ghaib. Arrogantly talking about the unseen. And Allah told us, La ya'lamuha illa hu. Nobody knows about unseen except who? Allah. How many marriages have they said that the marriage will not last more than 1 year and the marriage lasted more than that? I have seen it before. Somebody said a particular child will die, that it will die in the belly of the womb after they went to do all this. They gave birth to the boy. And by Allah's mercy, the boy is still alive. So they lie a lot. Don't go to them. So when all these things come up, the Muslims now begin to think like non-Muslims. So when they get into a car, they say, Afa etu ala dua. Even if the Afa does not give them a dua, the Christian who is giving a dua, they will be saying, Ami. Why are you saying Ameen to the dua of a kafir? Who is the Christian praying to Jesus, and you are saying Ameen? Will Jesus accept his dua? So why are you saying Ameen to it? So we should try as much as possible to educate people, enlighten them. Be a Muslim. Be a Muslim. Be a mu'min. And one of the ways to make sure that our Islam and our Iman are well established is by learning it. By learning it. When you learn it, you know the proof for it, your heart will be entrenched in it, your belief will increase, then you'll be an individual of your own. We beg Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make these things easy for us. The tenth thing that nullifies the Islam of an individual is al-i'radu an deenillahi ta'ala, that a person is avoiding the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yata'allamuhu wa la ya'malu bihi. Such persons will not learn Islam and they will not act upon Islam. وَدَلِيلُ قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى. And the evidence is the statement of Allah, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَكِمُونَ. We beg Almighty Allah to make us understand better than it's been explained. But we promise, inshallah, in the next class, we discuss those other points, issues of fear, issues of death, issues of being serious, who are those that are exempted. There are other issues. There are even people who say, if a person is ignorant, what kind of ignorance? Because there are two kinds of ignorance. One is an excuse, the other one is not an excuse. It is the second one that is not an excuse that many people fall in, but they think that they are in the first category. What kind of ignorance are those? The Ibn Rabbina will explain in our next class, inshallah. That is, what form of ignorance is not an excuse? Inshallah, will explain it. Alaykum salam. Can a man... This question is not related to this discourse at all, but it's beneficial, inshallah. Can a man... Good, the doctor. Can a man divorce his wife because she's not... He orders her to wear a face veil and she refuses. Can a man divorce his wife because of that? We'll say he should avoid it. He should not. Don't divorce your wife because you say she should veil her face and she's not veiling. Although we'll encourage such women to obey their husband, and then we'll give the man patience. We'll encourage him to be patient, not to divorce his wife as a result of that, especially if she's a good wife to you. It's not easy to find a good wife now. But if you have a good one, don't throw her out. I beg you in Allah's name. Likewise, husband. It is a generational issue. This generation has problems of marriage. It's everywhere in the world. Problems of marriage. So if you can stay 5-10 years with your wife, keep her well. Most marriages now, after 2 years, they break up. Yes, I tell you this. 2 years, the marriage scatters. So if you have a wife for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, some brothers are already counting 15 years, go there very well. Don't lose her. Yes. Likewise, husband, many men are not becoming responsible again. Yes, because they can't find women on the ground, anywhere, to fulfill their desires. Likewise, women, many of the women too don't like to marry because they can find men like themselves to fulfill desires. There is a popular artist, I think Kim Kardashian. This lady, within a period of 5 or 6 years, she married almost 7 husbands. And one of her marriages did not last up to 7 months. There's a Nigerian artist that got married, a lady from Akwa Ibom, something, I don't know. Her marriage lasted for only 3 months. And that was her second marriage. So marriages come and just go away now. Many reasons. There are many reasons. Many reasons. Many reasons. So if you have a wife, you want her to veil, encourage her gradually. Encourage her gradually, carry her along, educate her, enlighten her. Enlightenment is very, very important. When you enlighten somebody, you empower the person. I emphasize this point. When you enlighten a man, throw him anywhere. A brother was telling somebody, a Christian was telling a brother that he wants him to go to a seminary. You know those expensive jokes that Christians joke? Say, Apa, I want you to go to seminary. The Apa said, me, say yes. Say, me, say yes. Okay, buy the form, I will go. But I promise you, all your pastors there, I will turn them to Muslims. And we will convert that seminary to a madrasa. He said, oh, don't come again. When I'm talking about when a person is enlightened, he knows what he's doing, he will not be afraid of, he will not be chicken hearted. Christian, hey, I want you to make me, you will be born in fire if you don't become Muslim. Well, I remember a Christian, a friend, we did a course together while we were in the university, a chemistry course. He read chemistry. So whenever we were in the department, we say, I will start, come and say, look what? Let me tell you, if you die like this, fire will burn you, and God will put life to you again, the fire will burn you. He never talked to me about Christianity again. So brothers, please, we need to enlighten ourselves. We need to know our religion. The people around us, we need to enlighten them. Enlightenment is very, very important. Enlightenment, education, well-grounded in knowledge. We're in a generation of knowledge now, brothers. We're in a generation of knowledge. So, the knowledge of our religion must not be backwards in it. We must not be backwards. Things are evolving. So for us to be able to sustain ourselves as Muslims, our knowledge, our horizon must be open. We must have a wide world view. So we must start, our religion must be well established in our heart, and we must be knowledge-based. Knowledge, very important. Very important for us today. Because there are a lot of things confusing people out there. Because of the way information now goes everywhere, anywhere, anyhow. Information is flowing. So if you are not well immunized, may Allah protect us. So please, this brother should encourage his wife. Don't divorce her. I beg you in Allah's name. This one is a piece too. I will only read the question. There are some initial mukaddimat there, but I'll just read it. Since we understand always from your lectures that whoever commits a sin has ruled it other than what Allah has revealed. If a person commits a sin, فَقَدْ حَكَمَ بِذَيْرِ مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ, he has ruled by other than what Allah has revealed. It says, we hear this a lot from your lectures. Some brothers say no scholar had ever said this amongst the Mufassirun and the Muhaddithun. As far as they know, this as far as they know is up. Maybe the person thought wise and said, okay, let me refrain. As far as they know, please explain to us so that we can clarify to them. Al-Hukmu Bighayri Ma Anzalallah, we mentioned it. But I think the question here is the saying that nobody has said so among the Muhaddithun and the Mufassirun. This statement is not correct. We can do a whole lecture on it, mentioning all those who have said it amongst the Mufassirun. That Al-Hukmu Bighayri Ma Anzalallah is not restricted to leadership. When you say somebody is not ruling by Sharia, it's not restricted to a president who is not following Islam. It is connected to every individual regarding everything Allah has ruled upon. The matter is regarding every individual. Allah has prohibited zina. Is it not? وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. This is حُكْمُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. When a person avoids zina, قَدْ حَكَمَ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ. He has ruled, he has acted upon what Allah has revealed. When a person commits zina, he has acted hakama bighayri ma anzalallah, fi zina. he has acted upon other than what Allah has revealed regarding what? Zina. Specifically now, I would remember Sheikh Yahya al-Najmi. In fact, some of the scholars have entire books on this. It is not correct to say none of the scholars, none of Mufassirun have said that. It may be correct to say Sheikh or Imam so-so said nobody has said. I always warn Ikhwa, brothers, don't say nobody has said something because you have not seen everything. And that you have not seen something is not evidence that that thing does not exist. So don't say that. You can say somebody who is an authority says it does not exist. And Nafyu Jahl, ulama say, when you are rejecting that something does not exist, it means that you don't know. Other than you know. So let's avoid those expressions. Perhaps a better way of putting the question is, can you give us some of the scholars of Tafsir and Hadith who had given that kind of a statement? I think that's a better way of saying that. But like I said, I mentioned just one of them. Maybe in the next class, leave me Rabbi. I'll try to do a compilation. Those brothers argued further that by saying that ruling with other than what Allah has revealed is either major kufur, minor kufur, according to the scholars. But you said sometimes it could be. Another person who said it is Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Husaymin in his first volume of Al-Qawl al-Mufid Sharh Kitab al-Tawheed. Sheikh Husaymin said it. He even said that all things are shirk. That what now happens is, what level of shirk is it? Is it shirk al-Akbar that takes a person out of Islam, or shirk al-Asghar? In that case, the whole issue of Uthman ibn Ghayr Imam Zalallah will come in. Sometimes it could be mere sin, but they also said they wish to know who amongst the scholars is the third category of the hukum. This point is not clear. Those brothers argued further by saying that ruling is other than what Allah has revealed is either major kufur or minor kufur, according to the scholars. That is when you restrict hukum bi ghayri ma anzalallah to a ruler. You are saying that a ruler is not using sharia as his law. It may fall under major kufur, it may fall under minor kufur. That is if you restrict it to a ruler. Otherwise, it is connected to all Muslims. And regarding every individual, we gave zina as an example. We said any person who committed zina has acted opposite what Allah has revealed. So, it can even be shirk, and it can be kufur if the person is doing zina because he thinks that zina is halal. In that case, doing zina will not only be a sin, it will not only be kufur, it will be kufur that takes him out of Islam. It will now be kufur takzib, or kufur juhud. The kufur of calling the Quran a lie. Why? Because the Quran calls zina haram. He is saying zina is what? Halal. And he has ruled by other than what Allah has ruled. What Allah has ruled is that zina is haram. He is ruling it that it is what? Halal. The Quran rules zina haram. He is ruling it what? Has he ruled by what Allah has revealed? He has not ruled by what Allah has revealed. If he rules like that, he's a mushrik. When he commits zina, knowing that Allah has prohibited zina, but out of failure or anything, shaitan deceived him, he commits zina. He has also ruled by what Allah has revealed. By other than what Allah has revealed, the opposite of what Allah has revealed, but that is not in the level of shirk. So even in that, it can also be shukful akbar, kuful asgar. It can be shirkul akbar, it can be shirkul asgar. The problem with the question is that the questioner seems to restrict al-hukm bi ghayri ma anzalallah, ruling by the opposite of what Allah has revealed. The person seems to restrict it to the rulers alone. Bi ghayri ma anzalallahu. Ma, everything is one of the evidences. Ruling by everything, this ma is lil umum. But bi'iznillah, we'll mention ulama in next class. بإذن الله. The brother said, please, may Allah reward you abundantly. May Allah reward you. Mention to us the book or the scholar, because we'll do that, inshallah. We have tried to make research, but we are lost in getting a scholar. You will not be lost, inshallah. You will get it. But if you go to some of those, I've mentioned two now quickly. So al-shukmu bi-gayri ma anzalallah, ruling by other than what Allah has revealed, is not restricted to governors and ministers. It's also concerning every one of us. So when you say a governor or a minister is not ruling by what Allah wants, you too, check yourself. That is the meaning. This is another issue about the faith veil, but we can leave some of those issues to some other time. There will be question days, inshallah. Please, I could remember we did not finish the questions that you are written and sent forward the other day. Okay, we can teach them in another class. Questions. After the next class, inshallah. Does a woman need to lose her hair when she wants to perform ghusl, haidha and janaba? For janaba, there is no issue. She does not need to lose her hair. The area where the ulama differ is on the issue of haid. But Allahu A'lam, what is clear to me is that is if she is performing ghusl dukhul Makkah. Or as some other scholars say, ghusl dukhul ihram. The ghusl that a person will make when you want to go into ihram. However, some of the scholars also say that it is sunnatu mu'akkada for her to remove the hair, to untie the hair, when she wants to take ghusl from janaba. Inshallah, I think this is the most correct opinion. That if she wants to make ghusl from haid, menstruation, she should untie the hair. It is sunnatu mu'akkada. But that it is obligatory, I don't believe that. The ahadith on that do not show that. But that it is obligatory for her, if she's in menstruation, she wants to enter into ihram, to perform hajj or umrah, it is obligatory for her to remove the hair, to untie the plaited hair. It is obligatory, yes. There's hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. As for janaba, there is no issue. If she likes, she should untie. If she likes, she should leave. I hope the points are clear, inshallah. Thanks for the observation on Salah. Apart from Salatul Asr, also Isha is being prayed like 7:30. It needed to be discussed also. Allahu A'lam, I've not observed people and when they observe Salatul Isha. But we'll observe, inshallah. Please, is the knowledge of climate and weather part of ghaib? What is the viewpoint on weather forecasting? Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen said it is not part of ghaib. He said because it is a clear-cut, distinct knowledge that can be proven. It's clear-cut, it's distinct, you can prove it. You can verify it, you can see it. So it's not part of ilm al-nujum. Because in ilm al-nujum, astrology, there are two aspects of it. There is ilm al-tasir, the knowledge of the movement of the stars. And there's ilm al-ta'sir, the study of the stars affecting us. That the way the stars move affects events on the surface of the earth. It affects me when I'm going to the toilet. No. This is part of learning sorcery and fortune telling. So this is the aspect of astrology that is prohibited. They say because you were born at particular time, you are Sagittarius, you are Cancer, what? Pears and fish, and all these. So that is prohibited. Don't depend on it at all. That is called ta'afir, ilmu ta'afir. The knowledge of the influence or the impact of the stars and the moon and others on people's activity on the earth. They can say if you marry your wife when particular sun is in particular place, it means your wife will first of all give birth to a girl. This kind of knowledge, it is haram for us to learn it. But ilmu tafsir, the movement of the stars, the ulama say it is allowed. In fact, Sheikh Uthaymeen said it can even be wajib on us to learn it, because people use it to move in the darkness. When they look at the sky, they use it to determine their movement. They use it to determine time, what they do, when they do it, and how they do it. So if this is what you mean, and it is from things like this that they study issues of weather, what happens with the rainfall. But Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi warned that when we do those things, people who do the study climatology, they should add inshallah to their forecast. When they say, oh, tomorrow there will be rain, after studying it, say inshallah there will be rain. Because the truth is that how many times have the weather forecast even forecasted something and Allah uses his power and it does not happen? Many times. So Allahu Alam, we should take to that advice. In a station where the Salat started some minutes before the valid time, and someone now joins the Salat at the valid time, maybe a rak'ah to finish, is the fellow's Salat valid? His Salat is not valid. Because he's praying with the people whose Salat is not valid. Can we shorten the Taslim, SWW and WWW? No, don't shorten it. People want to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Do not say A, S, W, 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 la. Don't do that. Because it is ibadah. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he said we will consider the taslim of writing as we consider the taslim of speech. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. Imam Bukhari reported that in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that our consideration we will give to taslim of writing is the same consideration we give to the taslim of what? Speech. So in speech, can you say SWW? Brother, SWW. No, sister, SWW. You can't say that. So the correct thing to say is Assalamu alaikum. Even if it is that, you have 10 rewards. But SWW, Allah didn't promise you anything. Wa rahmatullah barakatuh. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah barakatuh. That one is WWW. Allah didn't promise anything for WWW. If you say it, you take your time, say Allah will reward that time. Malakum. What is wrong with us? Where are we running to? These things are acts of worship. The same thing if you say salam, S-A-L-A-M. You have not said taslim, oh. Brother, salam. Ma anzal Allahu biha min sultan. The least you can say is what? Salamun alaykum. Least. But salam, it does not have basis. Likewise, ma salam. Ma anzal Allahu biha min sultan. Allah has not ordained it. Ma salam. Egyptians say it a lot. And those who study in Egypt, Sima as-salama. La. If you are departing, you can say as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. As-salamu alaykum. Greeting, there is no ma as-salam for you there. If you say ma as-salam, you just wasted the breath. No reward. So we should say as-salamu alaykum or as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah or as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When you are responding, you can say wa alaykum as-salam if the person says as-salamu alaykum. If the person says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, if you can say, Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. But it is prohibited for you, if the person says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, it is wrong to say, Wa alaikum salam. You must add, Wa rahmatullah. You are either equalizing or saying more than him in response. You must not say less than the person who is starting, who is initiating the taslim. You must not say less. You either say equal or you say more. Allahu a'lam. But salam, ma'a salam, www, likewise when we say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we should not say SWW. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid said that in his Mu'jam, he has a compilation of expressions that are innovations. One of them is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People write it as S-A-W. Don't write S-A-W. It is better for you not to write anything. When you mention the Prophet's name, you stop there and use your mouth to say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad to the end, or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and continue writing. There are some among the scholars of hadith who do that. When they write the Prophet's name, they will use their mouth to say alayhi salatu wa sallam and continue writing. They will not write anything. But the best is to say and then write it. Yes, there's a hadith that whoever writes sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reward of making salat and salam on the messenger will be coming to him as long as that writing is there. That hadith is da'if. It's not authentic. It occurs in the book, Jala'ul Afham. Fi salati wa salami ala khairin anam by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. So we should check it up, inshallah. Although some people do say, I don't perform salah, but my heart is clean. What can we now say about a person that observes salah and he does evil? He is better than the other person who is not performing salah. Because when you perform salah, the first thing you gain from it is that the responsibility of performing salah goes off you. The second thing is, the dangers of not performing salah is averted. Do we understand two things? If you pray, the responsibility of praying is fulfilled. Secondly, the danger of not praying is averted. Now, for you to change is one of the benefits of salah. It's not all about salah. It says, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Now, but this salah also, what kind of salah is it? Some of the ulama have said, if you are not performing salah the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to perform salah, la tanhaka anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That salah will not be the salah that will protect you from fahsha and munkar. So we should learn to perform the salah correctly. And I tell you, if you have the patience to perform the salah correctly, to learn it and perform it correctly, I assure you, most likely it will start taking away your evil deeds. I tell you, when you pray correctly, you ruku correctly, you read all what you should read, you can pay attention like that in salah, I assure you, you will get all the indecencies from you, they will get off you the evening lah. Because that is one of the things that does not make the people get what they should get from salah. The cleanliness they should get from salah, they are not getting it because they are not performing the salah the way they should perform the salah. So the salah is not salah. That is why it's not doing what it should do. If you perform actual salah, you will get the actual result, inshallah. We'll make this the last question, inshallah. This person says, AWW. So, this I will say what? WWW. La. AWW is nothing. AWW. Inshallah. I think the person is saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I say wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Aside going to the prophet with, he puts S-A-W. When we were explaining the point, that person will be praying, say, make them not pick my question. We have picked it. I will come to you, inshallah. Apart from going to the prophet grave, alayhi salatu wasalam, to shout, Ya Muhammad, is it good to shout in a gathering just to praise him? Shout how? Like saying, Salu ala Nabi al-Karim. Salu ala Nabi al-Karim is not sunnah. If you want the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Imam al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Ilm in Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a bab, a chapter there. The chapter of insulting Nas, telling the people to keep quiet. The Prophet wanted to speak alayhi salatu wasalam one day. So he told one of the companions, I'm sitting now, tell the people to keep quiet. And he went and said, hey, people keep quiet, keep quiet. He kept quiet. Answer to. Don't say Salu ala Nabi al-Karim. The question is, when a person now says Salu ala Nabi al-Karim, what do you do? Will you keep quiet? Or will you say Salat and Salam on the Messenger alayhi salam? I say you say Salat and Salam on the Messenger alayhi salam. Why? Because the Prophet told you alayhi salatu wasalam that anytime you hear his name, you should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have heard him here, so you should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person is carrying a burden, but you are carrying a benefit. Now, it is not now compulsory for all of us to now say it together in unity. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's also an innovation. That dhikr, alayhi salatu wa sallam, or sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin to its end, it's not something we do together with one voice. As if we are saying Ameen at the back of Imam after Surah Al-Fatiha. Don't say it like that. Each person should say his own. So the issue here is, it is not allowed to say Salu ala Nabi al-Karim. But if a person says Salu ala Nabi al-Karim, you should reap the benefit by saying Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa alaykum as-salam. The concept of Afsila. What? Entertainment. Pornography, it says we live in a world now where the entertainment industry is deformed with things that are prohibited in Islam. How then, as Muslims, do we entertain ourselves? Did I get your question? And Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, has mentioned that the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they play, they entertain themselves. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam also is very humorous. So from the things of entertainment is humor. We know humor, things that will agitate joy in the ears of the listener. Let me give you one. A woman came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. She said some things regarding her husband. So the Prophet asked her, alayhi salam, is your husband that man that has black thing in his eyes? You must say no. My husband said no, you the one. She said no, my husband doesn't have any black thing. Your husband has black thing in his eyes. You must say no, my husband doesn't have. The Prophet now said, alayhi salam, is there a human being that does not have any black thing in his eyes? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He has many humors like this. There is a case of the old woman who came and asked whether old people will enter the Jannah. The Prophet said, no, old people will not enter the Jannah. Yeah, old people will not enter the Jannah. So what of we, bro? Say, no, old people will not enter. Yeah. So what will happen to us? The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah will change your future to the future of young virgin girls. How will she feel? Everybody was, we are laughing. So there are cases like this. The Prophet has humors. And those humors, in fact, sometimes he will give some humor. The companions will ask him, do you joke? He says, yes, I joke. Except that nothing comes out of my mouth, illa al-haq, except the truth. A man can joke with his wife. You can tell her stories. Stories of things you have read, stories of things she has read. Be ready to listen to her. Be ready to listen. The companion said, radiallahu anhum, they used to mention issues of the days of Jahiliyyah. And they were saying, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, who has guided us onto Islam. Maybe some people were during student union days, for those who went to Ife, they said they used to do arrow. Some guys do arrow. Maybe now Allah has given you good understanding of this. Begin to remember those steps of why if you do arrow. You know people make arrow. You know what they mean? You'll be making things that are funny, young people. So when we grow up, it is from the things we can entertain ourselves with. And then there are many stories. Many stories. Entertainment also has to do with visiting people, talking to them, relating with people, sharing knowledge, you know, sharing experience, telling what you have seen on journeys. We have brothers who have traveled across the world. They can tell us their various experiences during their journeys, how they felt on the first day they rode on particular. One woman was traveling for Hajj. I was there. She had not entered the plane before. It was an Emirates flight. So when the plane ran on the runway and took off, she started holding the chair of the plane. You see, now we are all smiling. Imagine this is not a clown. And a man is telling this to his wife. She'll find relief. And he has told her the truth. And she can benefit from it if she has not traveled by air. That when you are traveling by air, when the plane starts to take off, you don't hold on the chair. So there are so many things to say. But human beings, our humorousness differs from one person to the other. Some people are very humorous. Some people are not humorous at all. So we can do so many things. We can do so many things in terms of entertainment. And we are going to avoid music. We are going to avoid porn. Because these are things which make people entertain themselves today at Ubudila. We can entertain ourselves with a lot of things. With a lot of things. Especially after learning, serious learning sessions. We can engage in discussion. There are brothers who know about cars. They start telling you, so-so cars, 2001, it has so-so things, things like that. You'll be feeling as if tomorrow you will buy a car. I know brothers like that. If they tell you about Mercedes-Benz, they start telling you the seat, how the seat moves, the new innovations in it. They start comparing one Jeep to the other, Highlander Jeep, Prado Jeep, Lexus Jeep, and the years and the new things that they have done in them. These are nice things for us to entertain ourselves. We'll be just talking and daring, we'll be saying the truth, and we'll be gaining too when we say the truth. You can even talk about animals, wild animals. Let me tell you a story, go back home and find out about it. A lioness found an antelope being born. When it was coming, the mother of the antelope left the antelope and ran away. That lioness took care of that antelope until it grew up. They titled it Brought Up by a Lioness. A lioness, you know what that means? In the wilderness, a lioness was pursuing an antelope, and the antelope just gave birth to a newborn baby. The mother left the daughter. You know, when fire burns a mother and burns the child. So, the mother ran away, leaving the child, the antelope. It is that mother lion that now took care of the antelope until it grew up. It did not eat it. There are two events. In one of them, the mother lion went to drink water one day. Looking the other way, a male lion came and ate it up. You could see the mother lion almost shedding tears. So things like this are things, not just that we say, you will also gain from it. I tell you, the greatest lesson I learned from that episode was that, Wallahi, la ilaha illa huwa. If your time to die has not reached, you will not die. For me, that was my major lesson. Something that can kill you is something that is protecting you. The antelope is a fresh, nice food for the mother lion. The lion, but it did not eat it. It was protecting it. In fact, there were hyenas. Hyenas came to attack that antelope. The mother lion protected the antelope. You won't eat this one. And it is his own food. If your time has not reached for you to die, nobody can kill you. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.